brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview, sitting in for another Friday night right here on Bob Enyart Live on the Information Radio Network. The number to call, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah?
Thanks
yeah.
for joining me on a Friday night.
Oh, man, I'm so pumped.
We've got, you know what? I think we might be in the tribulation.
The tribulation.
I think, you know, the Great Tribulation?
I've heard of the Great Tribulation.
The 7 years of Jacob's trouble?
Yes.
Afghanistan is facing their worst plague of locusts in 30 years.
Locusts in Afghanistan.
And this is true, too. You know, they've survived their poverty, war, hunger, drought,
yeah.
and now it's locusts. And it's pretty bad, too, from what I can tell. They're doing everything they can, the farmers and all, and village men. They're digging trenches. They're trying to fight this relentlessly advancing enemy.
Of locusts.
And they're losing.
Wow. What a hard luck story Afghanistan is, huh?
It's a mess.
Man, they got it rough over there.
I don't think it's really the tribulation.
No?
No. You know what? Bring up line two right on the air, live, call, no call screener.
I talked to Doug about half an hour ago.
Hello, call. Okay, hold on now. Hold on. Okay.
We're having some problems with the phones.
That's right.
Apparently.
Our call screener.
It's the locusts.
Our call screener went to get us some Starbucks, and he's not back yet.
Anyway.
He's going to hear about it.
I wonder if any of the American troops are going to be conscripted into the battle against the locusts.
Well, they'll leave that for the UN volunteers.
Oh, okay. Well, good. They should import some third world types. I don't want our troops battling locusts.
No.
Not when there's still Al-Qaeda out there to be fought.
Yeah, we do. You got to prioritize. And yeah. We kill the Al-Qaeda.
Right.
We'll let the French kill the locusts.
Yeah, there you go. Now, this whole thing about the tribulation, you're saying you were making that up, that you don't really think.
No, I don't. Right. I don't think we're in the tribulation. You know what? We've talked about this on the show now and then. When there's big news, not locusts in Afghanistan, but World War II, the turn of the century, the turn of the millennium, turn of the first millennium, Christians are forever saying it's the end of the world.
Yeah, they have a tendency to do that, I've noticed.
And unbelievers, they take note and they say, well, these Christians have been saying it's the end of the world for the past 40 years.
Yeah.
And most of those who were saying that are dead. So,
yeah, that's true.
So,
well, you know, I've got this theory, Bob.
Yeah.
Tell me if you think this is totally. Tell me if you think this is possible at all. I think that it's possible for the whole end time scenario to begin at any time, and that all the prophecies in the Bible would be fulfilled.
Well, I agree that that God didn't have to do any particular certain thing like setup,
right,
in order to move on with his prophetic plan,
right.
So when we say, oh, look, this happened, and now the next phase could begin.
Right, right, which is what I hear.
2,000 years ago, the apostles were expecting that Jesus would be back at any time.
Yeah.
And he didn't come back.
No, he did not.
Partly because he was mad at Israel for rejecting him.
Right.
So he said, forget it. I'm going to hang out for a while. And so now, here we are 2,000 years later.
Well, I know so many people who are watching for signs and things all the time, but I think that the infrastructure to support the starting of the whole tribulation, it's always been there. The whole world is wicked, and it's moving in the direction to where at any time God could start to judge the world.
Mm, that'd be good.
I think so.
I would vote for it.
Yeah?
But God is not democratic.
No, he's not.
He doesn't take votes.
No, he doesn't take votes.
He takes prayers. But not votes.
Well, now that you mentioned prayer, I got to ask you, Bob. I was going to save this for later in the show.
Yeah.
It's a serious question.
All right.
I have a family member who's going in for major surgery.
Mm.
Could very well not live through the surgery.
Mm.
50-50 chance of even surviving.
Mm.
So family members called me and said, we want you to pray for your aunt as she's going in for surgery. And my question is, how should I pray? What
is your aunt a Christian?
Yes. She is.
Your aunt is a Christian.
She's a charismatic.
All right.
Yeah. She's very charismatic. She is a Christian. Yeah.
Well,
should I pray for her? Should I pray for the doctor? How do I pray in a situation?
Well, normally what I do is I pray that God would be glorified in the midst of the trial or the difficulty.
Mm.
Remember, Paul prayed three times to be healed, and three times, three prayers, and God did not heal him.
That's right.
And Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. So I like to use that model because there's a fellowship in the suffering of Christ, and through suffering we grow and we mature. And if God always kept us from suffering, we would never grow up. Think of a rich guy whose kids, the rich guy's kids, and whenever they get in trouble or something goes wrong, he has enough money and influence that he pulls strings and they don't have to bear the consequences. So they're always getting special treatment. They're not suffering under the reality like everybody else in town.
Right.
And so how do they turn out? Do they turn out really well?
No, that Michael Skakel is how they turn out.
Right. Yeah. It's just a mess. And so... and so we see that with Israel and God. When God was doing all these incredible miracles for Israel to bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land, they were just miserable wretches. And they were immature, and they doubted God. And we also see that when Jesus, for 3 years, did so many miracles for so many people, and those people did not mature. He said, you're not here because of me. You're here because of the miracles. And so I think that God does have a problem. It's like a wealthy father who loves his kids, but he knows if he uses his influence to get them out of trouble, that they end up worse for it. And so God looks at us, and if we as Christians are like the rich dad's kids, rich kids, and the normal trouble we would be in, like being sick and dying.
Yeah.
If God got us out of that all the time, well, then it just wouldn't work. And besides, Christians die.
They do.
All stripes, all kinds, all flavors, they all die.
Even charismatics praying for a miracle.
Well, yeah, right. Everybody, the apostles died, the prophets died.
Yeah.
And, right, so you got to die sometime. So I think it's, you know, people who think, well, God promised us he'll answer this prayer. Well, if it were really true in that way, then why do Christians die? Yeah. If you could be healed every time.
Good point.
So I don't know what disease she has or how old she is.
I don't know yet either. I haven't got all the details.
It's okay to die.
Yeah.
It's okay. And at our church, Denver, you know, some churches, people are almost ashamed if they get sick.
Yeah.
And the church, at the time when the church should be very loving and supportive, it's looking cross-eyed at the person and like, what are you, harboring sin in your life?
Yeah.
That's really tragic. And at our church, Denver Bible Church, we say, hey, if you're sick, you can die at our church. It's okay. No pressure.
Hello, my name is Jason Troyer, and I do volunteer work here at Bob Enyart Live, including the commercials you hear every night. I moved to Colorado from Indiana almost 3 years ago to help Bob and his ministry because they changed my life. I'd like to invite you to benefit from this ministry as well. Easter is just around the corner, and despite what you may have heard, Easter is not about cute fuzzy bunnies or colored eggs. Easter is the day our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, just as he said he would. On Easter Sunday, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, will not only talk about the resurrection, he will also present the evidence for the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day is not a myth or a fable. It's a fact. If you live in the Denver area, whether you're a Christian or just have questions, we want to invite you and your family to join us March 31st at 10:50 for this special sermon. You'll also have the opportunity to not only meet Bob, but also Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob Friday nights, Tony Funderburk, who sings the opening theme to Bob Enyart Live, and even little old me. For directions to the church, call us at 303-463-1707 or go on the web to denverbiblechurch.org and look at our map. For those who don't live in Colorado or can't make it, We'll also make audio cassettes of the Easter sermon, as we do with all sermons, so you won't miss out on this great evangelistic tool. For those of you who have never ordered from Bob Benyart Live, we'll even make this tape available free of charge. Call today to reserve your copy, 1-888-836-9278.
Welcome back, Bob Benyart Live. Hey, Doug, the new Star Wars Episode 2 is coming out.
The clones.
On Mother's Day.
Send in the clones.
Yeah, and my mother is moving to Colorado with her husband, mom and dad, mom and Al.
Yeah.
And they're moving on Mother's Day.
Oh, wow.
So Mother's Day is big for us this year.
Yeah.
But this, the Queen Amidala, or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
The one that had like the mountain horn, the ram horns on her.
That was Princess Leia.
That's... head. Oh, it was?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen any but the first like one or two.
All right.
Well, I didn't see the
I might have the wrong princess or queen.
Anyway, one of those.
But anyway, she is apparently a student at Harvard, I guess.
Yeah.
And has written a letter about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that appeared in the Harvard Crimson.
No, oh, the Crimson. How appropriate is that? Bunch of bleeding hearts over at Harvard.
Right.
The Harvard Crimson.
Well, anyway, she wrote a pretty good letter. Some other student had said that that Israel was a racist colonial power and their colonial occupation was corrupt and that white Israeli soldiers destroyed refugee camps of the brown people that they have dispossessed for decades.
So
there's a simplification.
Pretty strident stuff.
Right.
Wow.
A racist is anyone winning an argument with a liberal. So let me quote to you from her. You haven't read this, have you?
No, I haven't. I saw the headline.
Natalie Portman. Now she's the
actress.
Queen Amidala or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
Huh? Amidala.
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 Thank you.
All right.
That correction.
We got all right.
Amidala.
Okay, so she writes about the distortion of the fact that most Israelis and Palestinians are indistinguishable physically, she says, and that the Israeli government itself is comprised of a great number of Sephardic Jews, many of whom originate from Arab countries. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are a lot of black Jews.
Yeah, there are.
From Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Solomon, he used to get around.
Yes,
so
he did.
There's a lot of black Jews in Africa. There are blacks in Africa who circumcise and keep the Sabbath and don't eat pork and all
right,
that.
Right, right.
So anyway, and she went on and she said, the chief of staff of the army, the minister of defense, the minister of finance, and the president of Israel are all, in quotes, brown. One might have an idea of the physical likeness between Arabs and Israelis by examining this week's Newsweek cover on which an 18-year-old female Palestinian suicide bomber and her 17-year-old female Israeli victim could pass for twins.
Wow.
Pretty interesting. And that's so typical of the liberals to see everything as racist.
Sure, it's all... It's
whites versus blacks.
Or browns, yeah.
Or browns.
Can't have any of that.
Or reds. Let's go to Odessa, Texas.
Odessa, Texas?
Don, speak your mind.
What's up, Bob?
Howdy.
Hey, just got to tell you, I love your show. I love the way that you're straightforward. You tell it like it is.
Ah, Don.
You don't sugarcoat anything.
I really appreciate hearing from you.
I told you, Bob, that this would go over well in Texas.
Because, Don, Doug is from your area. He's from the Permian Basin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I grew up down there, Don.
All right.
Yeah.
What town, Doug?
McCamey.
McCamey.
See, even people in Odessa have never heard of McCamey.
McCamey Badgers.
Oh, the Badgers. He has heard of McCamey. I stand corrected.
Yeah, I grew up in Fort Stockton.
All right.
And I was a little worried, Don, because we've been doing a talk show for about 10 years, and we haven't been on in Texas until now, thanks to Quad K. A really great signal down there in Odessa, Midland, Texas.
Huge.
And so I was worried that we're a bit radical, not only Christian, but we're a bit more harsh than your average Christian talk show.
Well, you got to be. You know, I listened to the other program. You know, while I'm here at work, and they a lot of them they're preaching. You know, the coming of the Lord again, and it's just, it's like pampering.
Uh-huh.
You better get on with it. You better get straight. The Lord's coming. We all know that. But we still live in the here and now, and this is a harsh world.
Yeah, you pray that the Lord comes today, and you plan as though he will never come.
Right.
That's what you do, and it's always been that way for Christians. The apostles and their converts and the first generation of followers of the Lord, they thought that Jesus was coming back.
Oh, yeah, real soon.
Yeah, they did. In fact, they sold, do you remember, Don, in the Bible that they sold all their land and all their homes? Mm-hmm. They thought this was it, and it wasn't it. And so they ended up starving in Jerusalem.
You can't live that way.
No, you can't. It doesn't work. Not long term. But they thought it was short term. And so it's good for Christians to have an expectation that the Lord is coming back. But here's the bad part. Every headline, they interpret it and they say, this is a fulfillment of Daniel 12:7. And it's not.
Yeah.
They said, here are the 10 toes, the European Common Market.
The EU.
Yeah, the European Union, the EU, and the UN, the UN.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the UN.
Oh,
well,
no,
don't get us wrong, Don. We hate the UN. Don't get us wrong.
We call it the UN. It's the UN.
Yeah.
The UN is nothing more than that old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
Well, who's accused them of having good intentions?
Yeah. know what I've always thought of them as, Don? I've always thought of them as the student council. Like,
of the world.
You've gone wicked and just, yeah, of the world. The student council of the world.
Yeah, I don't believe in all this global getting together, the monetary system. I think there has to be separate governments in every part of the world. It's like a check and balance.
Yeah, the book of Acts tells us that God has established that the nations would have boundaries.
Yeah.
Just as he established that families have boundaries. Mm-hmm. And liberals, they want to say, well, anything is a family. Anybody's a family. Two homos and a goat is a family.
Sure.
To liberals.
On Sesame Street.
Many people in our federal government for decades have been advocates of the CFR, where they're against national boundaries. And they want just like the European Common Market. First, it was just an economic trade agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have the North American Free Trade Association.
Right.
That's what they had. And then it's become the European Common Market, and then the European Union, and now they have a single currency, and they have centralized courts, and centralized laws, and pretty soon Europe could become indistinguishable one country from another.
Sure.
What they have going for them is, a dramatic change in culture and language.
And then, the strongest one wipes out all the other cultures. They become one.
Yeah, that's
true. Well, I think they're all kind of already all leaning toward a Eurocentric homophile. They like homos. They like abortion. They like the transgender.
Completely post-Christian.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be for the abortion, right? But until I started listening to you, and you really explaining it to me.
Oh. Hey, Don, I'm absolutely thrilled to hear that you had your ears open and you were willing to listen, because that's such an important issue. Because these little kids, they're in the womb, they're sucking their thumbs and playing with their toes.
Hey, Don, how old are you?
34.
34. Well, we practically grew up together. And I got to tell you that I even claimed to be a Christian when I was younger, and I was ambivalent on abortion. I was like, well, whatever people want to do, let them do it. Who am I to judge?
Me too. I was in high school, and I had never heard one Christian say that abortion was wrong.
Yeah, I had never heard that.
And I thought, well, I didn't have adults telling me that sexual immorality was wrong.
No.
I didn't even have that.
Wow.
It was
Bob's from New Jersey, by the way, Don.
So. Right. And my life showed the devastation of growing up and not being taught right from wrong. It was my fault, but it really would have helped if people would have said, this is wrong, this will destroy your life, this. And I thought, I became a Christian, and I thought, hey, if a girl's pregnant, she can have an abortion.
Right.
That solves that problem.
Yeah.
I had not had one Christian confront me and tell me what the Bible says about killing a baby in the womb. God says it's the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
If a criminal is involved with a crime and he accidentally kills a baby in the womb, it's the death penalty.
Yeah.
Right.
So, hey, Don, thank you so much.
Hey, I wanted to make one comment.
Oh,
about,
yeah, Don, we never let you get to your point.
The Israelis.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Bush needs to turn the dogs loose, let them get in there, because we need all the support. We can't be the policemen of the world.
Who
we can't
let the dogs
it's all right for us, but hey. Y'all can't do it.
Hey, Don.
We need to go kick some butt.
Hey, Don, I've been a little frustrated. Now, I know the Permian Basin is Bush country.
Yeah.
And so maybe somebody from there could explain to me, I've been so frustrated because on every odd-numbered day, Bush tells Israel to pull out of their war against terrorism, and every even-numbered day, he says they have the right to defend themselves against terrorists. And that's so frustrating. Imagine what it does to the Jews in Israel who are trying to fight terrorism.
Yeah.
What if Ariel Sharon said to us when we landed men in Afghanistan, what if he said, we got to pull out of Afghanistan because we got to stop the cycle of violence?
Right. Bush is just trying to appease everybody.
You can't do that.
No, and the Permian Basin, everybody's on the bandwagon, Bush. It's always great to have somebody from your part of the country as president.
You're not right.
And, you know, I'm proud of the guy. It's homeboy, does good.
Yeah.
But, you know, come on, you got to get your head out of your
okay, out of the sand. Okay, thank you,
Texas
Don.
Colloquialism there.
All right.
They're pretty harsh down there in Texas, even though he's a homegrown boy.
Yeah. Hey, Don, thank you very much.
You bet. Love your show, man. Oh, and I was going to tell you that New Jersey thing?
Yeah.
Hey, we're not all perfect.
That's it. That's
I was all I was trying to do, Bob, was to point out. See, growing up in the Bible Belt down in Texas, even in the 80s, like me and Don,
yeah.
The teachers still said it was wrong for the boys and girls to have sex.
Oh,
they taught us that in school.
In school?
They said it was wrong.
In school.
And if you were kissing all up on each other or doing other stuff at school, you could get in trouble and actually get suspended.
Wow.
So Don and I maybe had a different perspective in grade school than you did in New Jersey in the big city.
Right.
Bob was right outside New York City. And I mean, the schools had gone a lot further when you went to school than maybe when we had.
You know, I have friends who have youth groups at their church. Now, our church, Denver Bible Church, we don't have a youth group. If the youth are going to get together to do something, the parents do it too.
Yeah.
Because you get 20 or 30 kids together, teenagers, and you could just over time count the pregnancies and the abortion and the pot and the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a disaster.
Right. And the rottenest, most wicked kid will end up taking over and having the most influence.
More influence. And, you know, I haven't been in every youth group, and I've heard from some young adults that when there's extremely tight control and wisdom running it, I've heard that some are good, but all the ones I've experienced, they're bad.
Yeah.
And that I've seen firsthand. And so I've got a friend who pastors a church, and he is really alert to the problems about youth groups. And if a boy and a girl in their church start to like each other, he immediately goes to the parents.
All right.
And pulls the parents in and say to the parents of the daughter, now, do you want your daughter dating? You know, she's 14.
Ooh.
And they say, absolutely not. And so he tells the other parents, now, please tell your son it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
And that's, personally, I think it's better just don't do the youth group.
Well, yeah.
But Decatur, Alabama, is this Michael?
Yes, Bob, this is Michael.
Hey, Michael, we're about to go to a commercial break, but tell us what you want to talk about.
Well, I noticed on some calendars that Monday is the day we're supposed to celebrate Earth Day, and my wife and I have three things we're going to do to celebrate Earth Day, and
all right,
to get your input on it.
Well, we're going.
Three things to do on Earth Day.
Okay, and we'll come up with three other things during the break.
Okay.
Okay, now during this commercial break, Doug has the job of coming up with three things to do to celebrate Earth Day. And meanwhile, I have the job of telling you about our materials that we produce here at Bob and Jarrett Live and the things that people have been, I think, the most thrilled with is our monthly Bible study tapes. We teach through the books of the Bible on Sunday nights. I pastor Denver Bible Church, and on Sunday nights, we go through book after book. Sometimes we'll take a topic like predestination and free will. Other times, you know, we go through Genesis, we do creation, and then we do the fall. Have you ever wondered how long it was after God created Adam and Eve until they fell, until they sinned?
That's an interesting question.
Isn't that a fun question?
I don't think I've ever thought about that. But you've done a Bible study on that?
Yeah.
That's tremendous. I want to get it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get it.
That's
the thing I love about you, Bob. You ask questions that a lot of people haven't even thought to ask.
No.
And then you go to the Bible and you help answer it.
This is one of the most fun studies to see, when did Adam and Eve sin? When did they fall? And there really are significant clues in the book of Genesis that you just read it and you think about it, and it's there. They'll tell you when Adam and Eve sinned. And it's a fascinating thing to figure out. Not that anybody's salvation depends upon it, but it's the Bible is filled with things that God says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings is to search out a matter. And God likes to hide neat things in the Bible, so we would dig in. So, and where was Lucifer when he fell? Where was he, and what exactly was his sin, and when was it? When did Lucifer sin after he was created?
Wow.
It's really fun. So anyway, you can call us at 1-888-8-NYART and order. And right now, all our lines are busy, the call-in lines and the order lines. But you can call in and order our monthly Bible study tapes. Of course, you can get any of these albums. Just order the Genesis creation, Genesis the flood, Genesis the fall, the Exodus story, whatever. John, the book of Revelation, that comes in two volumes, the Gospel of John. So you could get those, or you could say, well, I'm going to sign up for the monthly Bible study and just get once a month. We're back on the air, and for those listening over radio as opposed to over the web, on the web, we're at kgov.com, and people who can't catch the whole show, they just go there, right, on the web?
Exactly, kgov.com.
Yeah, and they check out tonight's show or past shows, whenever.
Yeah.
We have one show this past week called 9 of 9 Will Be Even Worse. But
oh,
that's
boy.
Code language. We can't say what that means.
That's right.
But 9 of 9 will be even worse.
We're on in Bush country, so we can't say that whole thing.
But anyway.
Well, I've been working on this Earth Day thing.
I did a live commercial break for those who tuned in only to the internet during the news at the bottom of the hour, and Doug was working on the Earth Day.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go back to Decatur, Alabama. And Michael,
yes.
You and your wife are going to do 3 things for Earth Day.
Right. We've been wondering, we've noticed many calendars have Earth Day is Monday that we're supposed to celebrate, so we've decided we'd do 3 things to celebrate Mother Earth.
All right.
All right.
First of all, we're going to go through our house and throw away every container that's plastic.
You are?
We're going to go to Walmart and buy all new stuff.
Praise Gaia. That's
secondly,
so
all of our scraggly trees out in the yard that look like they're half dead, we're going to cut them down and burn them.
You're going to cut down how many trees?
Oh, 5 or 6 anyway.
Oh, I am really envious of this because my goal in life is to cut down 1,000 trees.
Oh, wow.
That's my goal. And
but
so,
he plans to make stuff out of them. He doesn't just cut them down for recreation, do you,
like
Bob?
I like to make fires.
Well, that's cut them down for fires is good.
Exercise, maybe.
Campfires.
Okay.
Just for fun.
Well, and the last thing I promised to do, and this is really difficult for me, but as I drive around Monday, I promise not to run over squirrels, rabbits, or especially cats. They're always out in the road in my way, but I'll make sure I stop and let them have the right of way on Monday.
All right, so Earth Day is on Monday.
He says especially cats.
Especially cats.
What, do you normally kind of swerve into cats? Or?
Well, I do my best. We live kind of out in the country, cats are not friendly cats.
Oh, okay.
Here in Colorado, we got a lot of cats in our neighborhood. I've got to tell you, Doug.
Yeah.
One was in our garage yesterday on top of my wife's van.
That can be annoying.
How does it get on top of the van?
Cats are amazing.
It's a mini, you know, women in minivans.
Yes.
It's a minivan. The cat was on top.
And a minivan's got all the round corners. You know, yeah. There's not any place for the cat to really...
I don't understand how that happened.
They can actually get a grip in the steel.
Cat, other than that, you know, in Boulder, you can't swing a dead cat.
Oh, you can't swing a dead cat?
Well, without hitting a homo.
Oh, okay.
You could swing a dead cat if you want to, but you can't do it without hitting a homo.
I had a friend that once shot one with a bow and arrow and skewered it.
Okay, now we're not just... You know, this is not going to be cat shot. Bashing hour.
No, cats are fine.
My wife's listening to the show. She's
no,
a cat
lover. I love cats, especially barbecued.
Oh, come on, Michael.
Hey, I got to tell you, my wife loves cats, but we had a baby, and the cat's not getting along with the baby.
Mm.
Not even a moment's hesitation. The cat was gone.
Oh, really?
We're down
oh,
to
you
one
have
cat.
A wise
now.
Wife. Oh.
Yeah, she is wise, right? And she's like one of the biggest cat lovers you'd ever want to meet, but she's not stupid. Mm. The cat's not getting along with the baby. The cat's gone. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
That's... No tear, not a tear shed.
No, of course not.
You know?
It's the baby.
I know. One down, one to go. As far as the cats go. No, I'm just kidding, babe.
All right. So, all right. Now, my Father God could whoop your Mother Earth. So, Doug, what are you going to do for Earth Day?
Okay. So you challenged us, Michael, to come up with three things to do on Earth
right.
Day. Which annoys me that it's always right around my birthday. Some years it's actually on my birthday, and that's really a bummer. So I think about Earth Day a lot.
When's your birthday?
April 27th.
April 27th.
And Monday is like, what, the 18th or 19th? No.
Today's
19th. The
19th.
Anyway, it's always right in there.
Tomorrow's the Columbine anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly.
Today is... Waco, Oklahoma City. This is always a tumultuous time of year for some reason. I don't understand.
Yeah, and Earth Day.
They call it the Embers of April is what it's called. And that's like war lingo because war armies
after
always
the
seem
the Ides
to
of March.
Sure has nothing to do with Tax Day.
No, that
Tax Day.
That doesn't help.
No.
All right, Earth Day. Okay. Number the first thing to do on Earth Day, if you don't have better things to do, is to snake out your sewer system. And why, you may ask? Yeah. And why would that even be funny? Well, see, at the end of snaking out your sewer system, you have a big pile of something for the earth worshippers even, to worship.
Oh, wait, I see.
You can pile it up right in the front yard and
so
have
in
a
other
big
words,
gathering.
So in other words, it's a neighborly thing to do.
That's right.
To present your neighbor's God to him.
Amen.
And
right there in your front yard.
I've had people tell me that they worship the earth.
The earth, yeah.
They worship nature.
Nature.
Nature
right.
is their God.
Exactly.
So I asked them, what do you mean nature is? Nature is a bunch of rocks and dirt. You worship dirt? And nature is all these processes,
right?
These cycles. And they say, yeah, I worship nature. So, well, if you worship these natural processes, the next time you visit the restroom, don't flush right away. First, commune with your God. Because there's your God. And you could, what a time to kneel and pray at the throne of your God. Right there. I mean, that's your God. And that's, hey, Michael, I guess that's what's motivating you. Because that's how sick these dirt worshipers are.
Right.
That they're worshiping just waste.
Yeah.
And they're turning down the Creator for the waste.
Yeah, exactly.
That's gross.
That's the point I was going for.
All right. And what's
okay,
your...
Next one, Doug.
Doug, you need three.
Okay, now I was on the spot here, so these next two may not be as deep.
Well, that was that one right there, that was pretty gross.
Now that you mention it, it was pretty gross.
Yeah.
All right, if you don't have anything better to do on Earth Day, walk through the mall and ask teenagers to sign a petition against big oil or against drilling in Anwar. And when they get close to you and you hand them the clipboard, you jerk out their nose ring.
Oh, good.
Doug.
On Earth Day.
That's terrible.
You know, they all wear their extra nose rings and all kinds of extra things and baubles on Earth Day.
Now, you got to tell people in the audience you're only joking.
Yeah. No, I would never do this myself. This was a suggestion for Michael.
Okay.
He said he only had three things to do.
All right. Rip out. Now, maybe we could do it with what one of my friends did on Earth Day. Go around and look for someone being kind to nature.
Yeah.
Didn't my son hear an art teacher hugging the trees?
No,
Doug,
not
true
really
story. What city was that? I'm asking Nathaniel. In Denver, what grade level? ninth grade teacher took the class out to pick up leaves, to paint leaves. All right? Okay. They picked up the leaves, and the teacher said, "Now, please hug the tree and thank it for giving you the leaves."
Oh, come on.
Now, my son, he doesn't lie unless it's important.
Nathaniel, are you sure you weren't writing some kind of comedy skit? This really happened?
True story. But that might be hard. But, Michael, if you're out on Earth Day and you find somebody being kind to nature, you could do what my friend from Boulder, Colorado did.
Yeah.
He was checking out of a grocery store, and there was a little bug on the grocery checkout. And the woman at the cash register and the customer in front of him, that woman, they said, "Oh, look at this little whatever it was. Oh, let's take it outside."
Yeah.
And my friend Kent from Boulder, he picked it up, he threw it on the ground, he stomped on it, and he said, "Don't worship bugs." And he's big. He's about 6'5". He said, "Don't worship bugs. Worship the creator, not the creatures."
Amen.
Because they do. Oh, it's not that. It's, you know, their heart for the bug, their love for the bug, it can't even match their hatred for God.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And their love for the bug is a symptom of their hatred of God.
Uh-huh.
I don't like bugs.
Yeah.
Hey. Can we take another tangent, Michael?
Okay.
I had a guy call in. He was the pastor. Actually, we called him.
Okay.
We ambushed him on the air.
Which is always fun.
He was the pastor of the Front Range Center for Spiritual Growth.
Oh.
Yeah. One of those churches.
Yeah.
And he somehow I found out about him and that he was a wacko religious leader. So I said, "Well, don't you support traditional sexual morality?" He didn't know who I was. Just talk show host.
Yeah.
He said, "No, we believe that as long as it's two consenting adults." I said, "That's so great because I've been looking for a church that I could be a member in good standing. And I've got a wife and a few kids, but I'm really tired of my wife. And my secretary and I, we've been having an affair. And I want to know if we could be members in good standing in your church, even though I don't care about my wife anymore and I'm cheating on her."
Wow.
And he really had a problem with that.
Well, yeah.
Because what was he going to say? He said, "Well, you could divorce your wife." And I said, "Why do that? She cooks, she cleans, she takes care of the house. She even has my car washed on the weekends. Why divorce my wife?" And he was stuck because he said yes. So he would allow a man who's completely misusing and abusing his wife to be a member in good standing of his church.
Sure he would.
But that's not why I brought him up. He said he was pro-choice, but he's also an animal rights advocate.
Oh, there's another shot.
And he said that all life, all animals, all life are created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "How about a cockroach?"
Yeah.
And I said, "If you found a cockroach in your kitchen, what would you do?" He said, "Well, since it's made in the image of God, I would put it outside." Well, what right does he have to kick the image of God outside? But anyway, I said I would stomp on it. And then I asked him about a baby in the womb, and he said, "Oh, I'm pro-choice."
Oh, yeah.
You would kill that baby sucking its thumb in its mother's womb, and you protect the cockroach, you murderer.
Why does God give laws in the Bible only to alter or repeal them later? Adam and Eve were vegetarians because God only gave them plants for food. But after the flood, God told Noah he could also eat every kind of animal. Then, through Moses, God limited Israel's diet to just clean animals. Yet, in the New Testament, God tells Peter to eat unclean animals. Why? God prohibited the death penalty in Genesis 4 and then required it after the flood. Countless details confuse believers who don't take the time to understand the overview of the Bible. Read Bob Enyart's best-selling manuscript, The Plot, and get a deep understanding of God and His Word. Order The Plot for $29.95 plus shipping and handling at 1-888-8-ENYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. You can understand the big picture, so call now.
Let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's where a lot of unbelievers start their argument. They think their ancestors were pond scum. No matter how much you want to agree with them, the Bible says we were created in the image of God. So do you know how to defend creation when someone calls it a fairy tale? What will you say to an evolutionist when he states, "We've been here for millions of years"? Get the information you need to make the evolutionists squirm in their chair. Bob Enyard has been a talk show host and a student of science for many years. He knows the evolutionary argument, and he knows that science proves there is a creator. Genesis Creation is a 6-tape audio album for $29.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-ENYARD.
Don't worship dirt.
Don't worship bugs.
Ah.
Earth Day's coming up.
Earth Day.
I didn't get to say my third thing.
And we said goodbye to Michael during the break.
We said goodbye to Michael. By the way, the number to call if you want to get through, now's a good time since Michael just dropped off. It's 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYARD if you want to participate in the program.
All right.
So he had challenged us to come up with three things to do on Earth Day.
Yeah, and that was two so far.
That was two that we – and now Earth Day is Monday. Today is Friday. One, two, three. Okay, I got it. Execute Robert Blake.
Oh!
That would be the perfect thing to do.
That would be good because that's good for recycling. You come from the dust and you go to the dust.
Dust you shall go.
So a recycling thing, execute murderers.
Execute murderers.
Just as a recycling program.
Right. And I mean, do that
I like
this
that,
Earth
Doug.
Thing. This Earth Day. Yeah, this is a one-time deal.
Yeah.
Earth Day.
Yeah. And you know, the headline for the Robert Blake story was today, prosecutors to charge Blake with murder.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the headline.
Yeah.
It's like, what else are they going to charge him with?
Yeah, I guess his wife is dead, right?
Right. He shoots his wife. What are they going to charge him with? Shoplifting?
Yeah.
I don't get it. They report that as like it's a story.
A huge shocking story. Well, Bob, this morning on one of the morning talk TV shows, there were several lawyers on the air debating which would be the best city for Robert Blake to have his trial in.
Which would be the best city?
You know, would be Van Nuys.
What does that have to do with whether he's guilty? Which would be the best city?
Yeah, the best city, you know, whether downtown L.A. or
best
the suburbs.
Best for who?
Well, I don't know. Maybe best for food or hotels.
The best for the reporters? The best restaurants? Yeah. What are they talking about?
I don't know.
If he murdered her, hopefully we get a conviction and he should be executed.
We'd want him tried in the harshest jurisdiction possible.
Let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Dean, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
And I needed to tell you, I committed a mortal sin for the earth worshippers today.
Uh-oh.
I mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mowed my girlfriend's lawn.
So you mowed the lawn.
Yeah, I went out of my way. In fact, I did it after I finished up after the sun went down because I was having so much fun doing it.
And why does that get the earth worshippers upset?
Well, it's because I'm cutting grass.
Yeah.
And I'm harming this grass,
nope,
and chopping it up in little pieces,
Dean,
and everything.
Dean, were there any flowers present?
Yes, there were.
There were. Maybe dandelions?
You know, no, they'd be little kind of purplish things.
You know, when you cut the grass, there's often a carnage of insects.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with a power mower.
Did you use a power mower, Dean?
Yeah, it was a power mower.
And not only that, some of those insects get sucked up live into the bag.
Right.
And then, you know, the mulch, you know, you got a mulch pile and it gets hot as
grass
decays.
Yeah.
All that chemical activity going on. And those bugs, they can really suffer.
Man.
It's just not right to just thoughtlessly cut your grass.
Or your girlfriend's grass, Dean. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. Hey, Dean, you guys getting married?
Bob, that's an interesting question. I better not. You opened up a can of worms.
A can of worms? You did is cut the grass. You're not aerating the grass.
That's right.
Just
that's all we're
grass.
Doing is open, cutting the grass.
Dean, is your girlfriend listening?
Yeah, now she is.
Now she is, I'll bet.
All right, listen.
She goes to a Bible church, too.
She does?
Yes.
Good deal.
And
that's
Catholic,
good. That means, that sounds like she very well may be qualified.
Yeah, for marriage.
As a wife, because if she's a Christian, then a Christian man could marry her.
All right, let me ask you this question since we're on the subject. Are Catholics Christians?
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question back.
Mm-hmm.
She's
giving me a look.
Uh-huh.
Are Presbyterians Christian?
Ooh, I don't know enough about those. Well, folks.
How about United Methodists?
Mostly no.
Now, there we could draw the line.
Well, even Presbyterians. This is mostly no.
You know, there are so many. Jesus said, so many of you will say to me, Lord, Lord,
right.
But I will say I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting hellfire.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is the one who talked about hell in the Bible, not the Old Testament. It was all about, all from Jesus. But anyway, if we have all these major Christian denominations,
right.
And so many of them have people sitting in the pews who are not Christian.
Hmm. Yes.
And some denominations are worse than others in their teaching. Now, we did two shows here a couple months ago with the Catholic in studio, two nights in a row. Bob debates a Catholic.
Yeah, and those are available at KGOV.com on your archives page.
Yeah, go into the previous shows and Bob debates a Catholic. And Dean, you guys could listen to those if you'd like, and you don't need to. But the key to being a Christian is loving Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus Christ and you believe in his death and resurrection,
right,
that he died for your sins, you trust him for your salvation, then you're a Christian.
Right.
And if the rest of your ideas are all messed up, that's another matter, but you're still a Christian.
Right.
So, but let me ask you a question.
Go. Go ahead.
How, you guys, adults, they should either be married, you know, adults who date in a very short amount of time, they really mess one another up.
Yeah.
And you either... You either get married or you don't date. Does that make sense to you, Dean?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because if you're not going to get married, then what are you doing? Just using up someone else's life.
Wow. That's pretty rough there.
You know, well, we all like companionship and friendship, but a man and a woman, they like each other to some extent, and normally it's hard to be supervised. Every time, not supervised.
You mean chaperoned?
Chaperoned, yeah.
In our culture, we mock the idea of being chaperoned. But at Denver Bible Church, as with other homeschool conservative Christian churches, we completely discourage people who are romantically involved to be alone together.
Yeah.
Because who's the tower of strength?
Not me.
Yeah, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. So, Dean, here's what I suggest.
What?
Find out if she's a Christian for sure. If she's not, then, well, let's deal with if she is. If she is, marry her right away.
And you can even go, you could aerate the lawn, fertilize, cut it for no charge.
Right.
Yeah, and not feel guilty about it.
And if she's not a Christian, if you're a Christian, I assume.
I am.
Well, then you will make it harder for her to become a Christian because she has this dilemma now. Dean only will marry a Christian, and here I am, I'm not a Christian, or I am or I'm not. I don't know if she is or not. But if she isn't, then maybe she'll become a Christian just so she can marry you, which is not sincere. Mm. And she deceives herself, and she doesn't really care about God. She just wants to get married. So you really complicate someone else's life when a Christian dates an unbeliever. You mess up their life.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But what if they're both Christians and they're adults and they're dating?
Get married.
Get married.
Get right married. Away. Yeah. So, Dean, maybe you'll never call into the show again.
We may never meet you again, Dean.
Oh, I bet you, Bob. That's a privilege meeting you, and I think I'll call in.
Well, I'm thrilled you will. That you will call in again, and I'm glad that we met. And that's what, you know, we like to talk about the things that are most important that make or break people's lives.
Yeah, forget the weather. We want to talk about life.
Yeah,
real
and
life.
Even Earth Day. You know, Earth Day is, that's one issue we could fight against blithering idiots on.
Yeah.
People who worship dirt. But Dean is a Christian, and his life is... He's an ambassador of Jesus Christ to the world, and so we want Dean's life to be a complete success.
Yeah.
In all the important areas. So, Dean, call us back and let us know when the wedding is.
Okay.
All right?
Hey, Bob?
No pressure.
Do cow pies, how do those fit in?
Cow pies?
How do they fit into the hierarchy of the liberal theocracy?
Liberals say that... liberals say that global warming is a result of cows.
Cows and their flatulence and associated gases.
Right.
Right.
Now, cow pies are obviously related in some way.
Sure, they emit a certain amount of methane every year just laying there out in the field.
So, but since you asked that question, Dean, I just now, I've typed in a website here, cowshades.com. Now,
okay.
Cowshades.com.
Cowshades. And that's what? Cows and sunglasses? What?
I recommend this website
too?
To people. There's a guy on TV in Denver, Ward Lucas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's a Christian. He's a creationist. He's been doing the news for 25 years.
Yeah.
And the zoning Nazis, he owns beautiful land in the foothills, and they are just suing him to no end because he wants to use his land and build a house and put in a little road to his house from the street.
Yeah.
And the zoning Nazis don't want him to do any of those things. And so he's put up this hysterical website called cowshades.com.
Oh, is that Ward Lucas's website?
Yeah. And and let me tell you what he's done. Since he's at war with his neighbors, he's decided that he's going to do everything within the zoning code. Like, for example, you could park your vehicles on your property.
Right.
So he has old school buses that he's bought. He's strung up this long line and put the weirdest colored cloth and plastic on it to give shade to the cows. He is fighting back as though this were World War III.
Oh, that's classic.
And they're either going to let him build his house and put in the road, or they're going to look at school buses and bright chartreuse and pink and red cow shades. So, hey, thank you, Dean.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you
calling in. God
bless,
Dean. Thanks so much for the call.
And say hi to your fiance for us. All right. Hey, Doug, I hope they get married.
I hope they get married, too.
Because, well, as long as, you know, it's tough to talk about somebody you don't know. We don't know Dean's fiancé at all.
No, she might be a total nutcase. You never know. No, I'm just kidding.
She's probably a wonderful gal if Dean likes her.
I mean, she's got him cutting her grass. She's got something going for her, right?
Right. He's not a total slouch.
Straighten that out at the bar. He's cutting her grass and taking care of the girl back home there.
That's right. But so anyway, let's assume she's a Christian.
Yeah, which I think he said she went to a Bible church. So
yeah. So. And she probably grew up Catholic like I did, because obviously has an interest in figuring out Catholics. I grew up Catholic, but I wasn't a Christian. I was Catholic. I went to the church, and I just didn't know much about God or Jesus. Mm. I didn't know Jesus promised he'd come back, that he'd come and live in our hearts if we believed in him and loved him. I didn't know any of that. I just went to church.
Yeah, well,
and after church, we went to get the fresh pastries at the bakery every Sunday morning.
Well, that's the one bummer about the Catholic Church is they spend their whole time focusing on Jesus Christ on the cross, and you just never get to any of the other parts of the story.
Yeah, and that's the way it was in our church. In fact, I went to Catholic grammar school for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
And I was told by the priest and the nuns that evolution was true, and I went to the Mother Superior, Sister Michael Vincent.
Sister Michael?
They do that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Sort of like Betty Joe, Billy Joe, Bobby Joe.
All right.
They take the names of saints and of angels.
Even for girls.
Yeah, Sister Michael Vincent.
Well, you know, it's their church.
If you put two guys' names together,
yeah,
you get Hollywood Michael Vincent. No. Sister Michael Vincent.
Sister Jan Michael Vincent.
Yeah. No. I guess she wasn't named after
karate expert.
But she was named after Saint Vincent and the Archangel Michael, I guess. But anyway, I asked her about reincarnation because one of the other students gave me a book on Lisa DiMarzo.
Yeah.
And the nun told me that reincarnation was true because it was proved.
Oh.
That's a mess. This is Bob and I remind you to do right and risk the consequences.